Come down to the little garden with me. Come go with me. Come go and see.
You're listening to SGV Weekly, your fix of the 626, where the books are always overdue. I'm Chris Greenspawn.
Are you still the same? Carry home. I have returned.
Our guests this week are the owners of Modaliha Lending Library.
Where are the bookstores? There's not a lot in the area.
What about one that exclusively loans out books by people of color?
We've had to find places or create spaces to see our stories reflected.
It's a cozy place to read about immigration, organizing, and SGV history.
It's good to have a nice selection of local books, talk about local people, local places.
You'll find it right off of Valley Boulevard in El Monte.
I think we have a great opportunity to become a landmark here in the city.
They're filling a need for consciousness and connection in the 626 community most threatened by injustice, neglect, and gentrification. They're Modaliha, and we'll have more with them after the break on SGV Weekly.
Support for SGV Weekly comes from Dr. Rubin's Pomade.
Made in Alhambra with a secret recipe since World War II that nourishes your hair with natural ingredients. It comes in flavors like melon, chocolate, and cherry, but please don't eat it. Try their lip balm instead. It lasts for hours. Get yours at drrubinspomade.com and use promo code SGVWeekly at checkout for 15% off. That's drrubinspomade.com.
Here are a couple things you can do to help us out. Share the show with someone who cares about the San Gabriel Valley. Rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Follow us at SGV Weekly on Instagram. And consider giving some bucks to our Patreon. You can find it on sgvweekly.com. Now back to the show.
It's SGV Weekly. I'm Chris Greenspawn. The Modaliha is a hardy native plant in California that sprouts up after wildfires. It's more or less held on to its indigenous name, Matilha. That's the spirit Modaliha Lending Library's owners wanted to plant when they opened up at the Valley Mall on Lexington Avenue.
Oh my gosh, okay.
Here's co-owner Amy Wong.
Thank you everyone for joining our grand opening of Modaliha Lending Library. Before we start our official ceremony, I do want to start with a land recognition that we are on stolen land. That belongs to the Tongva people, our indigenous people here in LA.
Wong and her husband Andrew Yip are activists and members of the nonprofit Active SGV. They wanted to create a library that's culturally relevant in El Monte. The grand opening was in March, and it began with an incense blessing and ended with explosions.
Ready? One, two, three.
It was a happy day with lots of books, egg rolls, and soccer on the back patio.
What did it mean to you guys right now to cut the ribbon with your parents?
So for my parents, I had to convince them to come because it was a conversation about what this opportunity meant. And for my parents, as immigrants, their priority ever since arriving in this country is survival. And having to explain to them what this space means in terms of an opportunity to build community rather than a profit-driven motive, that took a while for me to have a conversation with them about. But in terms of having them here, it was really important because we would not be here without our parents and our grandparents. And unfortunately, in the past couple years, our grandparents did pass away related to the COVID pandemic. And we want to honor them by doing work that grounds us in values that they would be proud of.
Andrew says it's been on their bucket list. They both grew up in El Monte without reading much in school about their own cultures. They want to change that for future generations with help from the authors who changed their lives.
I think the earliest, like the author Lawrence Yip, because when I was a kid, my last name is Yip, and I was like, hey, this author has a similar last name, and in Chinese, it's the same last name. But he wrote about stories about Chinese immigrants about the gold rush and building the railroads. And those were stories that we kind of learned about, but we didn't really hear about these actual stories of people and how they felt, how they survived. And it was, you know, as a child reading that, it was, oh, that's cool. Like, it's someone, these are people that reflect who I am, and I can find my stories in them too. Not that I'm a railroad or miner, you know, but just the stories of like traveling afar and trying to make it, trying to survive, and, you know, thinking about my parents and the family before me, you know, like the ancestors. It's relatable.
Amy says growing up mostly reading about people like Washington and Columbus was like having to shapeshift to be part of someone else's culture. She didn't realize she could write her own story without translating it for white readers until she found Toni Morrison. So here's a poem Amy read on Modalija's backlot about life in El Monte. It challenges the way white media portrays it through gang stereotypes. She turns the question around about who makes it dangerous and how.
My poem is called Shapeshift. The 10 hums like VHS static. SGV airport planes buzz like mosquitoes. My eyes and throat itchy from the thick air. I take the Silver Line or Silver Streak downtown. But sometimes I drive because I get tired of paying more to wait longer. Men bike on the sidewalks of Garvey, relying on rusted chain, frame a few sizes too small, plastic bags hanging off handlebars. At Garvey and Merced, my grandma's best friend, Tai Paul, Chia Lim, on her daily walk was struck by a driver and assigned to the same nursing home as my grandma, Apol, Li Fu Tai. Her joy shrank within those walls until her body did too, passing months before Apol did, sister matriarchs joining Guan Ying. You see, these streets were not designed with our thrivance in mind, instead designed by those who stole land and zoned maps to keep us out, oppressed, silenced. Our DNA recognizes the violence our parents escaped from, violence devised by Guaylo, ghost devil men. They are afraid of our power, as if we add too much color, flavor, justice into this world. So we shapeshift, the water we are. Past the wire fences, we flood Rio Hondo in waves, fracture concrete, seismically sink beneath soil. In rhythm with mycelium, we bring life back to the quarry. Our blood, our bodies, rivers remembering our way home. We create new paths to get to where we need to go, free form and free from these streets, freeways, borders, cages, prisons, wars, violence devised by Guaylo. So we shapeshift, the water we are, our blood, our bodies, rivers, remembering our way home. Thank you.
That was recorded a few weeks before the grand opening with help from South El Monte Arts Posse while I was out of town. I went back to Modalija about 2 months after they opened to talk more, and they said the community response has been really meaningful.
Have people told you anything specifically, like what they want to see? Obviously, you have so much stuff to begin with, but what does it seem like people really gravitate to so far?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the older folks, and by older, I mean like my age, like maybe 30 and up, gravitate toward the nonfiction section. And then the younger folks, like students and kids, they like going to our fiction section, which we have a lot of books written by BIPOC authors. And it's cool that not all of our books center on trauma and pain, which is, you know, it's important to tell those stories, but, you know, we've been able to stock books written by people of color, BIPOC authors, that also center on joy and celebration and culture. So it's really cool to be able to see kids check out those books.
But even though having happier things to read is really important, Madaliha has taken a hard stance as a radical gathering place. They host the area's progressive and mutual aid events. This is also an important cultural work, taking a stake in what SGV identity stands for.
For me, I see a vision of building multiracial solidarity across the San Gabriel Valley. And this space can be one, hopefully, of many community-driven spaces that we share across the region overall. And for the Asian American community specifically, I really appreciate the conversations around Stop Asian Hate. But I also think we need to move further beyond that to join forces with other communities of color and recognize that we are all working together, united against white supremacy. And growing up, again, there is a strong 626 identity, but I think we need mechanisms and we need spaces for us to express what that means to us specifically. And while, again, I appreciate 626 culture highlighting things like boba shops and the food, which I personally love as well. I love supporting our boba and food culture. But I also think we have opportunity to, again, go beyond that and connect to broader issues in terms of politics, in terms of environmental injustices, in terms of storytelling overall. And we need to build those bridges together as not only within the Asian community, but outside of it, with Latinos, with Black folks, with Indigenous folks, with all folks who are trying, again, to build a better world that centers our vision of joy as people of color.
Now we'll hear another poem about friendship across race. Steve Valenzuela wrote it. He teaches poetry on the East Side. It's not a straight-up vision of joy like Amy mentioned. Actually, it's pretty painful. But it's pushing towards something better for two men of color in a place that's working against them.
I literally wrote this while I was sitting down over there. I was going to do this other poem that, like, I've done before. I was like, nah, I want to do something different. And it was, I guess, more emotional than I thought it would be. But this is going to be my first time reading it. So if I mess up, I'm pretty sure y'all will be okay with that. I guess for context, this is based on... 2 years ago, I had gone to Vietnam for like 20-some days, and it was dope, it was cool. And I came back, and then underneath the tunnel that goes between like Colombia and I don't even know what that street is, I met up with a homie. I was crossing through it on my bike, and a friend that I grew up with, like back, the first dude I smoked weed with, like way back in seventh grade. And it was like, man, it was so crazy to talk to him because, you know, he's Vietnamese, and we were talking like this and that, blah, blah, but he like didn't really remember me. And I was like, oh, this, I was so heartbroken because he was like, he doesn't know how pivotal he was to me and how much he meant to me. And I tried to say it to him, but he was just like, yeah, let me hit it again, you know? And I was like, all right, cool, you know, whatever. So I was smoking with him, whatever. But this is kind of, I guess, what I wish I could have said to him. Yeah. Tom, my former brother of another mother from Vietnam, it's been so long since we've talked. Last time we smoked, told jokes, spoke about memories lost in the frost of ice. I hope people don't understand that line. Just trust me when I tell you that drugs mixed with mental struggles only manifest in more trouble and turns memories to rubble. But I can still see the face of a friend who first put the herb in my hand. I think I was 12. Yeah, that's the kind of model minority I grew around. You were maybe 110 pounds, but the machete you carried made you feel as heavy as a levee holding the back of generations of pain. Where did we go our separate ways? There was never an issue of race. Until there sort of was, I guess just products of our environment. But as I'm writing this, I'm reminded just how different our lives were. What's it mean to be the son of a refugee? I was completely naive to trauma and damage that warfare brings. Just shrug it and pass it, always blunt, passing deep questions, rarely asked. What's the point of being sad? Fuck it, man, that's just my dad. A statement I could also relate with, just not the same. Damn. I'm sure you don't remember that last time we talked. I wish I would have told you how you shaped me as a person. You made me as brave, even as a skinny little kid. Showed me how to hustle, selling dimes and nicks. You were the reason I first said fuck the police. I still can't believe how he had you pinned with his knee. You were maybe 13. Since then, it's been the finger for the EMPD, but I digress. I guess I'm just saying I miss you. So when I see you again, hopefully I have my piece or my pen. We'll laugh and we'll joke. Maybe this time we'll cry when we smoke. But at least I'll have this poem. Either way, Tom, you'll always remain my former brother from another mother from Vietnam. Thank you.
Though Amy and Andrew are from the area and they understand stories like Steve's, they're still concerned about how the shop will fit in. El Monte is becoming very expensive.
My worry is that, you know, we don't want to be another, like, gentrifying space, right? And understanding, like, places like Chinatown, Little Tokyo, Boral Heights, just understanding those places are under attack with art galleries and boutiques, coffee shops that are beyond reach of local community. We don't want to be one of those spaces and contribute to gentrification. But thankfully, a lot of the people that come through, like, we've been keeping track of, like, who's been coming here and how we can best serve our community. And I would say a good majority of the people are from El Monte and surrounding communities. They're younger folks, they're people of color. And we're really proud of that and being able to provide this resource. And so we want to continue building relationships with our neighbors and our community and making sure that gentrification doesn't take place, at least for us. We're not becoming one of those generic art galleries, you know? We want to serve a purpose.
So Madaliha will continue with its mission providing radical consciousness to people who aren't really served by any level of government.
Does it matter how many people come through here a month?
Well, thankfully, we don't have to pay rent, but we do have to pay for utilities. So it matters because I will be very lonely sitting here for 4 hours a day and no one's coming in. But thankfully, people have been coming in, especially our neighbors and community members coming in just to chat sometimes. And that's nice. But I think it's important to continue getting people to come in so that we could show that there is a need for this space.
Yeah, there's no quota we're trying to hit in terms of the number of people who visit. And I think we've had some slow days where just one or two people visit, but those one or two visits are super meaningful to them. And they travel all this way from another city in the San Gabriel Valley or even outside of the county to visit. So the number doesn't matter to me. It's just about being here as a resource for folks when they feel a need to borrow a book or when they feel they want to connect to a space that reflects them.
And part of having this library and this space is really just to say, fuck you to, like, white supremacy. So as a community space, as a library, I want to offer this as, like, a symbol of, like, defiance. Like, we're here to stay. Books are here to stay. And everything that I mentioned, our language, our people, are here to stay. Just like our namesake, the Madaliha flower, you know, it's one of the few native flowers that retains its indigenous name. And it grows everywhere. It grows anywhere, everywhere, regardless of, like, the soil. Like, it's resilient, it's hardy, and we have our Madaliha in the back that's doing very well. And hopefully, just like the Madaliha flower, will also do very well as for the next months and years.
That was Amy Wong and Andrew Yip of Madaliha Lensing Library in El Monte. They're located on Lexington across from the Samap mural near Cricket Wireless in Progress on Main. We'll have their open hours and a link to donate to them at sgvweekly.com.
Come down to the Little Garden with me. Come go with me.
This program is recorded and produced in La Puente, California. Our theme song is Carry Home by the Gun Club, courtesy of Manifesto Records. Ambient music by Kevin Greenspan. Our logo was designed by Felipe Flores and Rita Greenspan. I'm Chris Greenspan. This is SGV Weekly.
Through so many highways and so many tears.